And if you're new, stick around, ask questions. We are a church that tries to be as transparent as possible. I'm actually been told that I'm too transparent at times. I tell you guys way too much. And I even get the head nod from my wife. We get too personal sometimes, but it's just what it is. So stick around, man. Ask questions. We're just so thankful you guys are here. Can you turn up the house lights? I want to see people's faces. I love you. Clearly it's not the other end. He doesn't love me either. Jerk. All right. I'm only kidding. I love Stephen, man. What a great man of God. Hey, let's talk about a few things. Last week's message with Jeff, phenomenal, right? I love Jeff. He is anointed. What a great testimony, life-changing. Man, we saw people getting saved. That is amazing. And, you know, coming out of his message, I thought, man, I want to do what's the next step. And I thought, I want to help people discover their vision. You know, that vision that God has for them. And so I think maybe some of you this morning, you maybe just saw the word vision and you think, oh, this is like a vision Sunday. No, this is not the church's vision. This is your vision. I want you to discover that vision that God's been given you. And you need to listen, open up your ears and open up your eyes and be able to see what's happening around you and to stop maybe and take a deep breath. I mean, whoa, this world is crazy. And there are some things that are happening right now that are big distractions. And no one's fact-checking. Let me just be real blunt with all of you. Because you guys are like, did you hear about this? Did you hear about this? There's like all these conspiracy theories. And let me just tell you guys real quick, okay? I just want to throw one way out the door. Because my son the other day... My son, we've allowed him, he's 15 and a half. You know, if you have a teenager, you know that half means a lot of things. Now, when you get old, you're like, I'm not 41 and a half. Not even the day before my birthday, I'm like, I'm 41 and something. You know, no, it's like, no, I'm just 41. But my son, he was looking out the glass, the front window of the windshield. Sorry, I'm all kinds of adjectives there of what a glass is. But a window, or nouns, whatever. I don't even know what I'm saying right now. But because I think what it is I'm cautious about the words I'm about to say, so I'm being a little nervous. My son goes, oh, look, a UFO. And I go, oh, geez. Because he's on Facebook. You know, and so like all these people are talking about UFOs and all these conspiracy things. All right, let me help you guys all out with something. Now you can sit here and say, Josh, you don't know. I do know. I told my son, I looked at him, I go, you know, actually everything's a UFO that's in the sky. I said, because it's an unidentified flying object. All right. So everything is. So I'm just going to let you guys know, there are no such things as aliens, okay? I'm just going to help you all out real quick. I want you to sleep at night. I want you to realize there are no flying saucers. I have been in the middle of Death Valley, and matter of fact, I'm going there real soon. And when you go to Death Valley, you see a lot of things flying over, a lot. Tom and I were out there this time last year, and sure enough, we were watching this weird dot in the sky for a really long time, and it would move, and all of a sudden it would go away, and then it would appear over here. And then, you know, the next day, our campsite gets buzzed by, like, F-16s, like, and you're like, yeah, it's military, all right? All right, so let me tell you guys. Now, some of you will say, what about Ezekiel? Ezekiel! Ezekiel saw the wheels way up in the middle of the air. I'm the only one. So Ezekiel saw some strange things, but Ezekiel saw them through a vision. He was in a vision. He was in a dream state, and he saw wheels in the sky, but it had to do with heavenly bodies, and it was not about aliens. And I'm going to tell you right now, if you're like, but there was caveman drawings on the side of the wall. Caveman drawings, and they had weird things. Have you not seen the Egyptians? The Egyptians had some weird things. Have you guys seen my refrigerator? My kids draw the weirdest things, right? My children, my refrigerator's nuts. I'm going to tell you right now, my daughter doesn't know what I look like, all right? I come home and she points to my refrigerator and she goes, look, Daddy, I drew you. I go, no, you didn't. But good job, sweetie. Good job. Now you say, why was that all important? It's not. That was not even part of my message. I just felt like telling you all, stop. Stop with all your weirdness right now, okay? Stop with all your conspiracy theories. Stop with all this nonsense. You are being distracted. In Matthew chapter 25, there was a group of women. They had oil in their lamps. And unfortunately, there was half of them that lost their oil, basically went out. And they fell asleep. They became distracted. They didn't do what was necessary to purchase the oil they needed for the longevity of it. They didn't do what was necessary for preparation. And instead, they just let it burn out. And then in the last minute, when they knew the bridegroom was coming, what happened? They were begging and borrowing. Oh, can I borrow some of yours? And you're like, no, I need mine. I prepared. All this distraction is making you unprepared for the bridegroom's coming. You need to prepare yourself. You need to be ready. Stop with this nonsense of all these distractions. You're focused on so many weird things that are happening right now. To say, you know what, I'm not trying to tell you to be uneducated and not aware of the social injustices and all the different things that are taking place. By all means, be educated and stand up for those things that are right. God tells us to stand up for those things, okay? But don't let it consume you to where you're not focusing on the things of God. Man, you've got to be focused on the things of God. So, this is the moment of saying, where are you moving? Where's your direction? Are you moving forward in the things of God? This is super important that you have a vision. People who have vision are moving. They are always moving forward. There is always something happening. Man, I love people with vision. I love being in a room with people that are talking big vision. Things are happening. Things are wonderful. So as a Christian, as Jeff ministers this great testimony, people get saved. Now you're saved. Now you have declared Jesus Christ, your Lord and personal Savior. You have said, hey, I am sold out. I must decrease. He must increase. I must see the things of the Father. I want to hear what He has to say. I don't want to be all about me anymore. I want to serve others. I want to be a vessel for the kingdom of God. Now, I've got to have clear instruction. I've got to have direction. So Ephesians chapter 3, verses 20 through 21. As a Christian, you got to believe this. Without a shadow of doubt, you have to believe this. Now, all glory to God who is able. That word able. He can do anything. He is able to do anything. Through His mighty power at work within, I want everyone to say it right now, us. Say, you guys are lame. All of you. I heard it like this. It kind of was like, 3, 2, 1.
Us.
That is us. Within us. That means that God is with you. He is for you. He is enabling you through His strength and His might to accomplish the things of the Father. He's telling you, I've got this. I'm going to be with you. I'm going to lift you up. So now all glory to God who is able through His mighty power at work within us to accomplish infinitely more than we might ask or think. That's big. Those are big statements. Glory to Him in the church and in Christ Jesus through all generations forever and ever. Amen. We're also not to just keep this and hoard it for ourselves, but we're also to train others. We're also to bring people up and to flow out of us into them and an overflow of the things that are receiving that are infinitely bigger than we could ever imagine. There's generations to come and generations to follow us that will carry this torch. We have to be in a position to say, I want to be that instrument. I want to be used. That I know without a shadow of a doubt that God's got something within me. He's able to do it. Man, I can't wait. I am physically, mentally, spiritually capable to fulfill the vision that God has prepared for us. Now, Proverbs 29:18. Where there is no vision, the people perish. But he that keepeth the law, happy is he. Now, that's the KJV version. I want to say the NKJV version, because there's another word that is used in vision. Where there is no revelation, the people cast off restraint, but happy is he who keeps the law. Revelation. You guys know that revelation is not something that comes out of your head, but out of his heart. That's what revelation is. Many people think, if I sit in a room long enough and quiet enough and without distraction, then it will just come to me. And in that coming to me, I'll have this revelation. And it's more than that. I mean, there's a process as far as getting separated from the distractions of life. And there's a moment where even in Matthew chapter 6, man, you need to go into your prayer closet and shut that door. Man, be quiet. Get away from all of those crazy moments that just suck it out of you. But in this word, I'm talking about revelation, that this is the divine encounter. This is a moment where all else in your life seems pointless. It's those moments of aha, where there's nothing going to stop you. Nothing's going to hinder you. You're a bull in a china shop moment. I'm going in, and I don't care. I don't care what it costs. I don't care what it takes. I'm going to be relentless upon whatever that God's placed before me. I'm going to be relentless. Are you able to do this? Some of you in this room, you're like, yeah, I can do this. Man, you've got to be able to, it's a conditioning of preparation. I want this vision. But now it's a conditioning in your own self to say, what would stop me right now if God said move? If God said go? If God said talk? If God said speak? What would hinder that? Ask these questions and begin to write them down to say, man, this is what would stop me. And then begin to work on that to say, I'm not going to allow this to stop me. I'm not going to allow this to keep me from what God's told me to do. Moses tried to do it. Oh, I don't think I can say the words. And God's like, all right, I get it. I know who you are. I've heard you talk to me before. You have a stuttering problem. All right, I'll give you Aaron if that helps. I'll give you your brother Aaron. He'll speak. He'll help you out. I mean, there's time and time again where people are like, I need somebody. All right, I got you. God will send those right people. God will take care of you. God will bring in the supply and the needs. So don't allow those to affect that vision that God can give you. For me, revelation is it's an impossible thing. That you heard from God and that it's only possible through him. So if you are sitting there, you're thinking, what is vision or revelation? What are those things? It's going to be something much larger than you. And it's going to benefit one thing. Not you, but the kingdom of God. It's going to benefit the kingdom of God. So you can easily ask yourself, is it bigger than me? Is it larger than me? Is it even the capacity of it, the financial ability of it? Whatever it is it larger? Yes. Does it benefit others? Yes. Is it going to grow the kingdom of God? Yes. Then there's your vision. God's going to give you this wonderful, and it's going to speak to you. It's the desires of your heart moment. It's going to just, you're going to leap inside to go, ooh, that's what I'm made for. That's what I like to do. It is a rare, rare moment. I mean, there are things in my own life that I go, I don't want to do this. I don't enjoy doing this. I've had to have some hard conversations with people that I go, I don't want to do this. They're just, you know, you're just tough. But after I have them and we go through the breakthrough moment, I go, man, thank God I was used in this vessel. I was used for this moment to help people, to bring some clarification to their lives. It is hard at times, but I want to see the best in people. And that's what I'm called to do, that I want to pastor people past the issues that the enemy throws at them. I want to pastor them past these hardships and these moments to bring revelation to them to say, hey, there is a better way. God has prepared in you a better way. And it's going to speak to you. It's going to bring peace to you. Yeah, there might be a moment where you go, man, this is going to be difficult. But isn't that great? Because then you say, not by my might, by his might alone. Oh, man, I can lean on him on this moment. I mean, that's what I think about all the wonderful stories in the Old Testament with Elijah. And I think, oh, my gosh, Elijah, right? He, no more rain. And then all of a sudden, he's doing this great, wonderful miracle of a sacrificial burning. And then it was like, the rain's coming. Let it rain. And then he supernaturally outran chariots. And for some of you, you're not going to outrun chariots in this room. Some of you, you're not called. That's not your thing. I'm going to also tell you guys that you can go to the public swimming pool and try to walk on water, but you're probably going to fall in because that's not your thing. That was Peter's thing. I'm asking you to discover what your thing is, to see the miraculous take place, the calling upon your life that is supernatural, that's going to bring glory to the kingdom of God. What is that? You know, Habakkuk, we get this great group of scriptures. We hear it a lot about when it comes to discovering that vision and that revelation. And I'm going to read it. But really, the good stuff is in Habakkuk 1 and in Habakkuk 3. But Habakkuk 2, verse 2, it says, "Then the Lord replied, 'Write down the revelation and make it plain on tablets so that a herald may run with it. For the revelation awaits an appointed time. It speaks of the end and will not prove false. Though it linger, wait for it. It will certainly come and will not delay.'" But you know, if you read Habakkuk, you recognize, and I love when the subtitles are at the top of kind of giving just a brief little synopsis of what the verses are going to be. But in my Bible, it says Habakkuk's first complaint. I love it. And then God's reply. Habakkuk's second complaint. Like, doesn't complaint seem like a word of kind of like, you can't complain to God. Like, you can't say those things. But you can. When it deals with the vision, when it deals with what's happening that's going against the grain of God's kingdom growing, it's not complaining in a sense of like, God, I wanted those new Yeezys, man. Sorry, I was trying to be relevant for all the millennials in the room. What's up? I did it. There's only like four of you clearly, but I appreciate that. You're complaining about something. I can't, my neighbor, they're letting crabgrass grow on their grass. You complain about that. You complain about the person you work with because they chew their gum too loudly. God, I'm going to complain right now. I'm not talking about those things. I'm talking about the vision being stunted from growing. What is it, God? God, I'm complaining about this because the enemy, he's at foot and he needs to be stomped out. God, I am so sick and tired of seeing people being distracted and not getting the oil they need in their lamps. God, I'm so sick and tired of people believing in UFOs. I'm so sick and tired of people walking in fear in such a way, Lord, they have no understanding that you are in control. I'm so sick and tired. This is Habakkuk's coming from. God, I'm so tired of watching people just falling into sexual sin and desires that are just stealing from their marriages. God, I'm so sick and tired of seeing divorce rampant in marriage where to the point where people just feel like that's the only answer. God, I'm so sick and tired of people being put astray because they're just focused on wealth and finances and not focused on your goodness. In your goodness. God, I'm so tired of these things. Habakkuk's complaining. He's saying, God, man, something, sin, something. He says it, how long, Lord, must I call for help, but you do not listen? Or cry out to you, violence, but you do not save? Why do you make me look at injustice? Why do you tolerate wrongdoing? destruction and violence are before me. There is strife and conflict abounds. Therefore, the law is paralyzed and justice never prevails. The wicked hem and the righteous, so that justice is perverted. I mean, you hear these descriptive words. It's not too far off of what we're dealing with right now. I mean, there's an attack on the church that's at hand. Some of you have no idea what persecution really is, but it is coming. I've tried to tell you guys this. I had people upset about my message, like, I don't remember, a couple months ago. There are bad days ahead. I made everyone yell that out. We're reading the scriptures. I'm not prophesying in a way of negativity. I'm not speaking words of unbelief or doubt or evil. I'm speaking truth. We have been told there are bad days ahead, but take heart. Jesus overcome this world. And in that, Jesus has given you the equipping of anything that you need to overcome these things so that he gets the glory. So that when people see it and they go, whoa, how is he walking on water right now? Because he knows the vision and the desire for his life that God has given him. He knows the right opportune time to allow God to get the glory. This is these moments you got to be prepared. You need to have oil in your lamp. Do you guys know what oil represents? It's an anointing. There's an anointing. Do not allow the anointing to dry up upon your life because you've given up and you've given in to the schemes of the enemy. Wake up to realize I got to have oils in my lamps so that I can be a vessel. That anointing flows through me that, man, when it's necessary, a miraculous moment will take place that only people will say, man, that's not by them. That's impossible. That is impossible. How did that take place? But it's a conditioning. It's a conditioning of your mind. It's a renewing to realize, man, I've got to have spiritual eyes to see. I've got to wake up to this. You got to recognize that, you know, God's eyes are way different than our eyes. And his ways are way higher than ours. We know this. Isaiah 55, 8 through 9. For my thoughts are not your thoughts. Neither are your ways my ways, declares the Lord. As the heavens are higher than the earth, so are my ways higher than your ways. And my thoughts than your thoughts. You guys know, I'm not a tall man. But you know how many times that my children will say, hey, Dad, pick me up so I can see it. I'm not a tall man. I'm only 6 foot. But my children, they know, if I want to get to something higher, pick me up. I want to see it. I want to get there. Pick me up. How many of you guys are asking God on a regular basis, pick me up? Pick me up. God, pick me up. I want to see higher, better things. Man, I'm at a low point in my life. God, pick me up. Do you want to stay crouched behind the bush like Adam and Eve, or do you want to be picked up? God, I want to be picked up. I want to see your ways. I don't want to keep seeing these things I'm seeing. I want to see what you see. I want to be a part of what you're doing. Pick me up, God. Pick me up. I don't want to be here any longer. Because, you know, here's the sad thing. Some of you don't realize the land you're living in. Some of you are living in a dry land right now. An unpleasing, unsettling land right now. You even have an unsettling in your spirit right now. You have this unsettling moment of like, I don't know. Jeremy Harkins, you know what I'm talking about? You know exactly what I'm talking about, right? I'm calling people out now. Now you're like all freaking out. Everyone's like, no, don't say my name. Jeremy Harkins, you know exactly what I'm talking about, don't you? That unsettling moment of like, man, this is not what I need to be doing. But the question is, what are you going to do about it? Are you going to ask God to pick you up? In Psalm 16, 5 through 6, it says, Lord, you alone are my inheritance. You alone are my inheritance. You alone are my inheritance. My cup of blessing. You guard all that is mine. And here's the next key verse. The land you have given me is a pleasant land. What a wonderful inheritance. Some of you guys, you're not living in that pleasant land. And you're okay with it. You shouldn't be living in struggle. You shouldn't be living in doubt. You don't need to be living in dismay. If you are, there needs to be something corrected. There needs to be something repented of. There needs to be something to say, I don't want to do this any longer. I need to change it. I don't want that in my life. Shift something. Move something. Talk to God. God, what is it? Because I'm unpleasant right now. I want to live in the land that's pleasant. You've told me that you alone are my inheritance. So God, what is it that I need to be doing? What's the change around here? What's the moment, that 180 shift that you may need in your life? Now, some of you in this room, you say, it's my spouse. I need to just change my spouse. What's wrong with you? I went to Brazil. My wife and I were sitting there, and we went to this favela, and there was teenagers with AK-47s, and they were guarding the drug lords from the police, and it was freaky. All of us, my wife and I, we were like, you know, immediately we're like this. The pastors grabbed us and put us in front of them, and we just kept walking. The drug lords don't harm the pastors because they are their moms and their grandmas go to the church, so they protect the pastors, which is such a weird thing to think about. Drug lords protect pastors, and so then we're in a church service and we hear the pastors say, they don't pray for the drug lords to get caught, they pray for the drug lords to get saved. And immediately I'm like, oh, that's a different culture shift for us here in America. Like, yeah, they need to be busted. All of you, you're like, I can smell something my neighbor's doing. I'm going to call the cops. Like, immediately, you're like, calling the cops? You don't even want to mess with it. You're like, call the cops. Just call the cops on them. Just sue them. Like, immediately, we're like, you know, they need to be damned. That's it. Put them in prison. You don't even think about the salvation side of this. The changing of hearts. Change that perspective. That was an extreme example. But I'm now looking at you and your spouse. And you go, you know what? I want to pray for a shift in their lives. I want something to change. I want to be in their presence. I don't want to cringe when you drive home and you see their car and they beat you home and you're like, oh, gosh. Pray. This is a pleasant land that you live in. Make it pleasant. I love this example, and I'm going to give it because I love James Cheek's father. James Christian, our children's pastor, her father-in-law. I was at a baseball game with him a couple years ago. He'll talk to anybody. And this guy was just talking up a storm to him. We're out there waiting to get into the baseball game. And this guy goes, yeah, I've been married 4 times. And James's dad looks at him and goes, 4 times? My God, son. He goes, you know what they say after that third marriage? That guy goes, no, what? He goes, it ain't the spouse. There's something wrong with you. This is to a perfect stranger. I think James and his brother Joe and me, we started laughing, and that guy just received it. Like, yeah, you're probably right. Some of you need a hard revelation. It may not be that other person. It could be you. I know it's a shocker. Matthew chapter 7 says this. It says, you need to take that plank out of your eye before you take the splinter out of someone else's. You need to be aware of your surroundings. Are you living in a pleasant land? Are you the disruptor? It's time to change. You know, Psalm 37, 3 through 4, great group of scriptures. Trust in the Lord and do good. Then you will live safely in the land and prosper. Take delight in the Lord, and he will give you your heart's desires. For you to be able to discover the vision that God has for you, you've got to learn to trust in the Lord and do good. When you trust in the Lord and begin to do good, then you will live safely in the land and prosper. You're taking delight in him. You're saying, man, I love being in his presence. I love when he picks me up. I love when he shows me things that I need to change. I love the pruning process. When you can adequately, with admiration, say, God, I love when you prune me. God, I love when you correct me. You have the revelation knowledge that he loves you. He changes the atmosphere by pruning you. He shows you things like you've never seen before because he's pruning you. He's cutting back all the unnecessary things so you can see through, so you can see the higher things. Hebrews chapter 10, verse 36 says, patience, endurance is what you need now, so that you will continue to do God's will. Then you will receive all that he has promised. Patient endurance. So as you begin to discover that vision, that it just boils up inside of you. Oh, man, I'm loving this. I'm seeing it. But as Habakkuk yells out, hey, how long, God? Man, how long do I have to keep seeing all this? Immediately God replies. He says, man, come on, have some patience. He says in that vision moment, he says to them, hey, I love it, right? He says, though it linger, wait for it. It will certainly come and will not delay. It will be a perfect timing. Patient endurance. When you get God's vision, don't let go of it because you just get tired of holding on to it. Hold on to it tightly. Guys, I'm going to use this example, and I don't care if you guys get tired of hearing it. But man, this building, trust me, everyone and their mother wanted to tell me this was a stupid decision. Everyone and their mother wanted to tell me this was just needed to be bulldozed over. Everyone and their mother wanted to tell me it was too big, too costly, too hard, too whatever. It was going to take forever. The minute the general contractor came in, he said, it's going to be like a 3 to 5 year project. And I was like, no, it's not. I was basically lying to myself. No, it's not. And he's looking at me going, no, it is. Like, he's a professional, wise person. That's the reason why Proverbs says, go to the wise when you seek wise counsel. He was very wise. Our general contractor's like, no, it's going to be 3 to 5 years. But you know, I never let go. Tom and I would walk these halls and pray. We'd walk back and forth and just pray every floor. We'd come in here in weird, odd hours and pray and pray. And now this is a place where people are going to get saved. People are going to be restored. They're going to discover their vision that God's been wanting to pour into their lives. But you got to learn to hold on to it. If you let go, you're going to lose it. Patient endurance is what you need now so that you will continue to do God's will. Then you will receive all that he has promised. You know, I mentioned earlier, people with vision are always moving forward. Surround yourself with those people. That helps as well. It's great to be in those moments of like, man, let me hear what's going on in your life. Just stop. It's not a stop moment. It's not all about what's going on in your own, but just stop and say, what's going on in your life? I want to hear about it. Man, I like that. Man, I like people who are progressing forward. Man, I like hearing it. What's going on in your life, man? What's people doing? Like, What's God doing? What's happened? What's the newest revelation? What have you been studying? What have you been... See, some of you guys, you're not even asking these questions. You're just asking, how are your children? How's your house? What's your job like right now? Ask them what God's doing in their life. Who are you ministering to? Who are you discipling right now? What kind of God conversations are you having in your house? If you're not able to answer any of these right now, you're not living in a pleasant land. You need to be exuding the things of God in your life. God, what, man, everywhere you go, man, you want, God's doing this. Oh, God's so good to me. Man, God, you should have seen this at work. The other day, there was this huge thing that took place, and all of a sudden, I came up with this great idea in this meeting. Man, it was God appointed, and you should have seen everybody in the room. Man, it was awesome. It was all about God. God, I went in praying that morning for victory over this meeting. I went in praying for breakthrough. Man, you know, Mickey's a painter, right? Mickey's on the camera. Everyone look at Mickey on the camera right there. Mickey, I want Mickey to say, man, Josh, I wasn't going to finish this wall. I was going to have to buy $1,000 more worth of paint. I want to hear him say, but just like the widow, paint just kept flowing from that bucket. Like, I want to hear those moments. And you say, is that really possible? Oh, trust me. I have seen it take place where there's more than enough. I've seen it take place where I go, supernaturally, there's no way. But man, believe it or not, it was just enough. I want to hear these stories, and you need to be talking about these stories, these moments you're having with him. And that's life-changing. There's three things I want you guys to write down right now. Three things. In order to achieve and to know and to hear God's vision upon your life, it's got to be kingdom first. It's always kingdom first. It's never self-gain. It's always kingdom first. Begin to put everything in your life second. Number two, you got to begin to believe big. When you know that it's impossible, it's God. When that moment comes upon you and you go, oh my goodness, no way. God, are you kidding me? You want me to do what? God, you want me to invite my boss over to my house and we're going to cook and I'm supposed to minister to them about God? But you guys, let me tell you something. Some of you think that it's going to be on you as if, all right, so when he comes in or when she comes in through the door, what I'm going to do is I'm going to steer the conversation this way so that I can be like, hey, what do you think about Jesus on the cross? Okay, that's creepy and that's really weird. And that's not how God works. God works in this way. You're in prison and you decide to sing and worship because, hey, why not, right? And then all of a sudden jails open up, the jail cell opens, and then the jailer, aka the boss, decides that they want to put a knife through themselves. And then in that moment, you go, whoa, 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 I'm not going anywhere. Hey. And they go, why aren't you going to go anywhere? And you're, because God's so good. Let me tell you about him. Okay, some of you are sitting here going, I don't understand that metaphor, that analogy. Your boss will show up in your house and supernaturally decide to tell you something crazy. And then you're going to look at him and go, I got nothing but Jesus to tell you on this. And it's going to come naturally and flow perfectly. Your enemies will come to you and begin to weep with you. Your enemies will come to you and begin to talk to you about the things of God. And you're going to become this wonderful, beautiful counselor in that moment to say to them, let me share the gospel with you. Man, it's big. It's a big moment. Thirdly, you got to release all those hesitations. You got to release them. So in Romans chapter 12, verses 1 through 2, it says, and so, dear brothers and sisters, I plead with you to give your bodies to God because of all he has done for you. Let them be a living and holy sacrifice, the kind he will find acceptable. This is truly the way to worship him. Don't copy the behavior and customs of this world, but let God transform you into a new person by changing the way you think. Then you will learn to know God's will for you, which is good and pleasing and perfect. Kingdom first. It's going to be big. And let all that hesitation go away. When you begin to renew that mind, when you become that living sacrifice to say, all right, it's going to take an extra hour to do this, but it's for the kingdom of God, and man, is it worth it. God's vision will pour into you, and it's going to minister to your whole family, people around you. You'll hear confirmation, confirmation after confirmation after confirmation. I want you to live in the land that's pleasant. God wants you to live in the land that's pleasant. Allow that to happen. Let's bow our heads. Let's pray. God, we thank you for this time. Lord, I thank you. Lord, I thank you, Lord, that right now is a new beginning, that we are open vessels for your vision. Lord, I pray that many of us in this room, if not all of us, this week will discover that vision that you have for each one of us. Lord, that it's going to grow the kingdom. That we're going to see lives changed before us. Lord, that we're going to be vessels for supernatural moments, miraculous signs and wonders. God, I thank you for this. Lord, I thank you that our focus, our trust will be on you. I'm going to ask that everyone stand to your feet. I'm going to ask the altar care workers to come down front. If you don't know Jesus and you want to make him your Lord and personal Savior, this is your moment. Man, don't hesitate. We're going to worship for the next 3 to 5 minutes. And I want you to step out. I want you to come down. And I want you to pray. One of these groups of people here, we want to lead you through that salvation prayer of making him your Lord and personal Savior. And also, if you need anything at all, any prayer of agreement, in James chapter 5, it tells you if you're sick, if something's going on in your life, you know what? You're supposed to come down and get prayer. So that's why we open up these altars. So while we worship as a church, if you want to come down and have some prayer, by all means, come down and have some prayer. And at the end of church, if you want, we have this awesome prayer room. My left, your right, it's right back there. Go through those doors. We got some people back there ready to pray for you. But while we worship, come down. Let's lay it at his feet right now, okay? Okay.